Hello and welcome to the ATG Super Show, episode 7. That's right, it's your favourite weekly gaming podcast that we deliver to you here at All Time Gaming. And what a lineup we have this week, making her return to the front. It's Roisin, how's it going?
Hello, how are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you. And good. Making his debut.
Debut on the podcast.
It's the king of social media. It's Steph. How's it going, brother?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Thanks for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
Hopefully, the dream team.
Yeah, it is the dream team.
Dream team's here.
A unique lineup never before seen on the Super Show. And I might as well start by asking you guys, how you been? What you been up to? What you been playing?
Steph, you go first.
I go first?
Yeah.
Okay.
Any new releases?
New releases? I've actually been playing a bit of Ace Combat 7.
Ooh, tell me more.
It's a good game. I thoroughly enjoyed my time with it. I played it, if you saw, I played it on Facebook. Yeah. Live streamed it for All Time Gaming on Facebook. Mm-hmm. The first few missions. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a very good game. It looks absolutely stunning.
Does indeed.
And there were people in that were commenting on it, talking about VR as well. And of course you got that VR element, which I didn't play, but
yeah.
I think that would be a heightened experience over actual Ace Combat 7 as a game on its own.
Do you like VR?
I've never actually used VR. Yeah.
Never used it?
Never used
VR. We've got to put you in the Oculus Rift after we've recorded this podcast. I think got one upstairs.
If you have to take your glasses off though, maybe.
But then I might not be able to see.
Yeah.
Steph, a bit of trivia for the fans at home. Steph, blind in one eye.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
Yeah.
Blind in one eye.
I just feel like the more I tell them about you, the quicker they'll get to know you.
Yeah.
And that says a lot about
an open book.
Says a lot about your character. You're blind in one eye.
I was.
But the other eye, though.
The other eye.
Amazing.
I still have to wear glasses.
Super
but,
eye.
Flawless vision.
Near flawless vision in one
super
eye.
Super show. Super
blind
eye.
Blind in the other. So VR could work. I've never really experienced it. So VR should be able to work, I think.
But no depth perception, maybe.
No, probably not.
Right.
But then in depth in games, you probably haven't got depth perception like you have in real life.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know the science. Yeah. But they go back to Ace Combat 7. It gets the Steph seal of approval, yes?
Yeah, it gets my seal of approval. It's very fun to play, and it definitely makes you feel like Maverick in Top Gun.
Hey, what more could you want? And if you're sitting at home hearing Steph ranting and raving about how good Ace Combat 7 is and wondering what the game looks like, please head over to our YouTube channel. We actually did a live stream the other day. We played through the first couple of hours. So if you want just a taste of the gameplay.
It was just you, Jamie.
It was just Jamie.
But I think that's not one of the selling points. I want to see the game. So I didn't think I'd mention that point. But thank you, Roisin.
No problem.
What have you been playing?
I haven't been playing anything new, particularly.
Okay.
It's kind of new. Gree, got it for the Switch. Jonesy did talk about it before on the podcast, so sorry. I won't waste any more time on it, but it's
no,
cool.
No, please, go ahead.
It's good. Like, it's an enjoyable game, beautiful looking. I feel like they just put more effort into what it looks like than the actual gameplay. There was a bit where there's like a bot. I thought it was going to be like a boss because it's like there's puzzles and, you know, you have to think about your environment and what you've just learned. And so you use that into the next, like progress into the next level. But there was a boss and I thought it was going to be quite a challenge. And I didn't have to press any buttons.
Wow. A buttonless boss.
Buttonless boss.
What did you do? Just run around?
I was pressing the button to like swim faster because it was the water world.
Right.
And I was like, so I was swimming and I was trying to go like fast. And then I realized that everything I was doing was not contributing to her movements. So yeah, and she's fine. So we're just in another new world, and I'm just sort of figuring out the puzzles in an upside down world now. I think I'm pretty much close to the end of the game because I don't think it's a long game.
Okay.
But
I've heard it's very much a walking simulator.
Maybe a little bit style over substance.
I would say. It's very, it's good. And it's, you know, it's got like representation of like depression and talks with, you know, these things that we don't mention in games a lot. But yeah, it's a bit boring.
Do you think you're going to finish it maybe?
Or? Yeah, sure. I will finish it probably by the weekend. So that's pretty much it.
Decent.
What about you? What have you been playing, Jamie?
Well, I have been playing what I'd imagine a lot of people listening to the podcast will have just spent their entire weekend playing, and that is Resident Evil 2, which, of course, just came out on Friday. I'm still inside the first couple of hours.
Yeah.
And for anyone who played or saw that one-shot demo that they released a few weeks ago, that half an hour chunk is inside, like, the first hour and a half. So I've actually been playing a lot of the stuff that I'd already seen, but they're mixing it up in interesting ways.
Is that a bit annoying?
It's a little bit annoying, but there are some things you could get in the demo. Like, I got the shotgun in the demo, and I haven't found a way to get the shotgun in the game yet. And there are a few other puzzles that I feel like I couldn't solve in the demo, but I can solve now. So you get the feeling that you're playing the full game, which is nice, and that makes it feel a little bit different.
Okay.
Plus, there's the 15, 20 minutes of story before that scene takes place. But it's really good. I'm really enjoying it. I think it's a really happy, harmonious marriage of some slightly archaic, old-school mechanics that Resident Evil is famous for. You know, really limited inventory space, you know, lots of the puzzle-solving stuff. Mm. We all talked about that famous thing at the beginning of the game where there's that fuse box that you can't open because it's taped shut. And you need to get the knife to be able to cut the tape. Just peel the tape off.
Shoot it.
You've got a gun, mate. You're a police officer. You're not going to be stopped by
tape. It almost feels like it's dated puzzle mechanics.
Right, but there's something about the marriage of those dated mechanics with the entirely new gameplay, which is kind of like, the closest comparison is obviously Resident Evil's 4 through 6. It's that over-the-shoulder gameplay, but... Yeah. I don't know, the zombies feel great, like the way they react to being shot feels great, the way the sort of the gore and the blood and the dismemberment system works. I really like it. And even though they're slow, shambly zombies, that I've found anyway, they don't run at you.
Yeah.
Still pretty scary.
And they take an absolute beating as well. I've played the one-shot demo.
Are we just putting up with it because, like, are we just I'm not saying that you don't enjoy the game, but are we just kind of, like, going, oh yeah, it's good, yeah, no, and, like, giving it credit? Credit where it's not due. It is due, but like it's weird walking through the tube stations and seeing Resident Evil 2. It's a new game. If you wasn't a person who played games, like, and you saw that, you'd be like, oh, like. But I feel like for gamers who not at all gamers, like, I don't know. There's something that for me that's just a bit like it's just based on nostalgia and it's just it's like a cash in.
Yeah, I think there's definitely two sides of the coin. One half of gamers are gonna say, yes, I played this on the PlayStation, the original PlayStation 3 was on, so they're going to say, yes, I played Resident Evil 2.
Yeah.
But then you've got newer gamers that haven't experienced the original PlayStation.
So, yeah, I guess that's
that's the thing, I'm in the latter.
Yeah.
I've got no nostalgia for Resident Evil.
Right.
My first Resident Evil was Resident Evil 4. I liked 4, I liked 5 a little bit less. I didn't like 6, and I struggled to get through 7.
Yeah.
I already like Resident Evil 2
better.
More than most of them.
Okay.
It's on par with 4 for me right now.
Mm.
There's no nostalgia for me. It's purely based on what they're doing. I'm just picking up everything they're putting down for some reason. But there may well be a part of that.
No, fair
but
enough.
Hey, they make some money. And one thing Capcom likes is money.
Money.
I will definitely be giving that a go as well.
Yeah, we haven't actually done it yet. Not to sort of like blur the lines of when things are recorded and when they go out. But if at the time of you listening to this, we will actually have done a live stream of Resident Evil 2 already. So again, head to the YouTube channel and you should find myself, Steph and Milo sitting down to play, again, the first 2 to 3 hours of that game. So if you are listening to this and you want to see what the game looks like, or better yet, see us reacting to it, then head over to the channel and check that out. And with that little check-in with everyone, why don't we move on to some of our big talking points of the show, shall we?
Fantastic.
So later on, we're going to be digging into the news a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about Sea of Thieves taking over Twitch, what's going on with Google's DeepMind AI, sharing our thoughts on the upcoming Resident Evil TV show that Netflix are doing, and of course, answering some of your questions. But before we get to that, we thought we'd stop and talk a little bit about what we're all hoping will be one of the better games of the first half of this year. But there are some caveats to that. It's EA and BioWare's Anthem.
Are we silly to think it's going to be good?
That's the question. And hopefully we can do a bit of a deep dive on that this morning, Roisin. So the reason it's been in the news in the last couple of days, at least, for amongst other things, is that they've added a social hub, a social space into the game, where I think up to 16 players could meet and interact, similar to what you'd expect to find in a loot shooter, because Destiny obviously has a lot of those social spaces as well. And I thought it was interesting that it represented the first change, the first obvious change at least, that BioWare had made to the game as a direct response to fans, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the key things for Anthem going forward will be the way they respond to fans and the way they implement or tweak features as the fans complain about them.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah.
And I think it's nice that if this is the start of things to come, it's nice to have that fan interaction.
100%.
That are molding their own experience.
Yeah.
using
BioWare. They're not hiding anything.
Exactly.
It seems.
BioWare are new to the genre, in theory. You know, they've made some amazing RPGs, some amazing worlds, told some amazing stories. But a loot shooter, it's a tough game. And you're going to get, if Destiny has taught us anything, you're going to get some hardcore devoted fans who know exactly what they want and when they want it.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest challenge that they've got to try and overcome is they've got to offer something more than just a grind.
Yes.
Yeah.
Destiny, to me, although I really liked Destiny when I played it, when you get to those kind of later levels, you are just literally grinding for the highest loot to hit that highest light level. And I feel Anthem could go down that same route.
Right, and it's very interesting you bring that up because, not to sound all doom and gloom, but one of the things I wanted to kind of pose to you guys based on what we've seen in the last couple of days and weeks from preview events, various journalists, critics, YouTubers have had access to. And of course, this weekend just gone was the first weekend that VIPs or people who pre-ordered could access the demo, I think they're calling it, or the, you know, whatever beta, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So we are getting feedback hot off the presses for that. And I'll be honest, not to sound too damning, but my gut reaction, it's not that it's not great.
Yeah, it's like average.
Exactly. Okay. Everything seems a bit meh.
Yeah.
I look at the world and the way it's designed. I look at the enemy design. I look at the setup for the story. I look at the motive for the villain, especially considering this is BioWare. BioWare who created the Mass Effect universe, which, you know, if you put Andromeda to one side, one of my favorite universes in video game history.
Yeah, very.
It doesn't seem as ambitious. And I guess what I wanted to ask you guys, and I don't know if I'm unfair suggesting this, but do you think there's a possibility that after the PR nightmares that were Star Wars Battlefront 2 and Mass Effect Andromeda, that EA are kind of just trying to play it safe with Anthem and just make sure, at least out of the gate, that even if it's not that ambitious, just nothing goes wrong?
Yeah, so it's going to be quite bland. Maybe it'll be a bit bland.
Maybe.
I definitely think that they're trying to play it safe for now.
Right.
I think they're going to get a game out. They're going to... It's again, I know I'm going back to Destiny, but that's the closest thing I can think of.
Who's being compared to it.
There's going to be a very linear storyline. There's going to be maybe if not a single, let's call it a raid. I'm not sure if they've got their own special name for it, but kind of like an in-game raid. Yeah. But I definitely think that they would improve that by adding DLC later on down the line. I mean, EA are very much a love of DLC.
Yes.
They love releasing day one DLC.
They love money.
They love money. So there's definitely a platform there for Anthem to grow.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know how quickly it's going to grow to be able to keep up with player demand.
Right.
Because once those hardcore fans get to endgame, you're going to need to keep them there. Once they're there, what is there to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you worry that then they have the issue of they've got a roadmap, they're promising new content down the line, but if they can't deliver and make good on that fast enough, then the player count starts to drop.
Yeah.
And you end up in a situation that I think The Division found itself in, which is that the player count dropped too fast, and the changes they made down the line, it almost didn't matter what the most recent version of The Division plays like, because 90% of the player base had gone, well, kind of done with it.
Yeah.
It didn't improve fast enough.
They move on to the next project, and when you've got some big names coming out
alongside it,
But yeah, so is it really playing it safe then? Is it just making another mistake? Because it's like, instead of... Because they have examples. You gave the example of The Division.
Yeah.
And what if they had just, you know, made a really a solid story and they come out with like good DLC straight off the bat, let us know everything, you know, or didn't put up a wall between us and them, between their production and what they were making. They could have done a different approach and they probably would have got a better result. Because now they're just getting a meh. They're just getting a...
True.
Yeah, it just looks like... Destiny. Everyone keeps saying everyone's comparing it to Destiny. Client.
Yeah.
Everyone's then, comparing it to this. It looks like this. It looks like that. Like,
but then
it was
that style of game, I think, from reviews I see, that kind of very bland sort of online RPG style game.
Yeah.
They all get mirrors.
Yeah.
And everyone's still always play,
it's good, but people still go back. Yeah. People still play them.
Yeah.
But that's the thing about what Roisin was saying, is that if there's one thing that should be different about Anthem and Destiny, with all due respect to Bungie and the talented people that work there, is that Anthem's being made by BioWare.
Yeah.
And at bare minimum, the world, the characters that inhabit it, the conversations that have, the arcs the characters go on, should be of the highest quality in the game industry. Yeah. And I look at what's come out of all these preview events. It's another story about some weird ancient alien planet. It's a precursor race. It's you know, the people that created this world and objects they left behind that we don't understand. This weird thing called the Anthem of the Anthem of Creation, and what looked to me like a generic set of villains who all they want is, oh, we want the powerful thing that the aliens left behind. Like, how many stories do we need? How many sci-fi stories do we need?
That's like Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah, even Mass Effect to an extent, like, was about precursor races and being left behind items that we don't understand that hold the key to technological advances. Yeah. Like, do something interesting.
They could have taken a chance and it probably could have paid off. Yeah. They could have kept it in that same world, maybe. Sure. And just developed it a little bit differently, given it more like as the arcs, well, giving them character development.
They would have had a huge opportunity to appeal to a much wider fan base if they had a really solid single player.
Mm.
Almost on, I would say Mass Effect, or even kind of the detailed worlds of Fallout, especially something like New Vegas or 3. Mm. Appeal to the single player market that want a single player experience, but then you've got that end game there.
Yeah.
If you want those multiplayer.
But they just
want to
cash in on the microtransactions. That's what's
going to
happen.
Well,
But that's why they didn't do that. I think that's why they didn't invest in the single, because they could do that, but they're like, "Well, why would we? Because you're still going to pay, you're still going to put money into it."
In a market where multiplayer seems to be the primary focus, or it's that kind of multiplayer trend is the primary focus for games now.
Yes. It's sad. It's sad
single
because
single player games are kind of, they feel like they're just kind of drifting.
Exactly. Like, one of the things they announced ahead of time about Anthem was that there would be, you know, when you're between missions, you're in first person outside of your suit, walking around like a certain area, interacting with NPCs. And they announced at some point that there would be no other players, no other real human players in that space. So it was less of a social space, the equivalent is in Destiny, which is, I think, what people expected, and more of a story space, a place where the only people there are NPCs who are specific characters, you know, that you have conversations with. BioWare style. And I was like, fuck
yeah.
That's a sign, at least on the surface, that there's going to be some BioWare-esque storytelling.
Yeah.
And I watched some footage of someone walking around that space, and it just looks dead.
Dead.
Yeah.
It looks lifeless.
Empty.
It's just the
hollow.
A handful of NPCs dotted about, standing there, no routine, nothing, standing there just waiting for you to initiate a conversation with them.
Yeah.
There's one place that's kind of like a bar, and it's just got like five people in it, just sitting there, not talking to each other, waiting for you to talk to them. It's like the most rudimentary ass approach to having NPCs and being able to engage with them and interact with them.
It's not the saloon in Valentine.
Exactly. Or something that's like.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a real shame.
It is a shame.
It's a real shame because I remember when, you know, when we saw the trailer when we was in LA.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, this, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, there's something going on. Like,
the reveal trailer was that door that opened up into like a bazaar.
Yeah.
Like a market bazaar.
When we first saw it, it's like, there could be.
And the first time you saw one of the javelins flying, and you're like, oh, we're going to be flying around the place.
This is awesome.
Flying still looks cool, don't get me wrong, but.
But how long, you know?
Yeah, and I think Roisin touched on another very interesting point there, talking about the Anthem in the long run, and it is monetization.
Yes.
And it's the thing you can't get away from.
Oh, you want a camo skin for your javelin?
Exactly.
That'll be $2.99, please.
Yeah, I mean, there was a preview event that certain journalists went to the other week, and they were allowed to customize their javelins in terms of the paint jobs and the materials that it was made of, because it can be like, oh, I want it to be rubber and green, or metallic and
matte.
Red. Yeah. Exactly, that stuff. But
very Need for Speed.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But here's the important thing. They weren't allowed to see or access the section of the customization where you changed armor or sort of what your javelin would physically look like, because in EA's own words, they were still figuring out the marketplace and how much stuff will cost.
The front of it, sorry, Steph, but the front of it as well, to like do that, to like journal it, people who are going to review your game, like, do you know what I mean? Like, do it in a, I don't know, be more clever about it if you are going to do it. I think we're expecting them to do it, so whatever. Maybe that's what they know, that so they're not hiding the fact that they know that people are going to be angry when people find out. But like, to do that to like a bunch of journalists, like, oh no, we can't show you because, you know, we still haven't sorted out the marketplace.
Yeah,
I think that's really bad.
It is.
I think that's really bad.
Yeah. And that seems to be like a growing trend to sort of say, well, we've got this stuff. We're not going to take it out. But what we will do is keep it as secret as possible for as long as possible.
Yeah.
Even to the point of the classic move now of launching a game without microtransactions, but with the sort of the premium currency that you will one day be able to buy. Battlefield 5, for example, it's got its virtual currency.
Yeah.
Company coin, I think it's called.
Yes.
Which you unlock slowly as you progress through the game. Mm. You can't buy company coin, but by the end, by summer, you will be able to.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
And there will probably be more things you can buy with it.
Yeah.
Black Ops 4, launched without explicit microtransactions.
Yeah.
Now it absolutely has them.
Subtle,
and you can buy reticles for, you know, £4 or whatever it is. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And I think that comes down to the Fortnite model.
Yeah.
Is Fortnite just making absolute bank?
When's it going to die, Steph?
Microtransactions or Fortnite?
Fortnite.
Fortnite will go. When the big thing.
Yeah, what do you reckon?
What's your prediction?
Oh, when Fortnite will die?
Yeah.
I reckon give it another 2 years.
Two years? That'd be a good reign,
I think.
Yeah. If you
a good reign. Epic would have made
gonna
money.
What's going to take its place?
Epic will start moving into different avenues and give less of a focus. At the moment, Fortnite is very much just their cash cow. They are making so much money.
Mm.
They're now taking on Steam.
Mm. Yeah.
What are Epic going to do next to take on the next big...
Now that they have a game that's literally providing them billions of dollars a year.
Yeah, guaranteed. You
know? I mean, the world is their oyster.
Who can they take on?
So I think their focus will shift into other avenues.
Mm.
Fortnite will still be there, of course. The content will still go out because it's making money and it will just automatically make money.
Mm-hmm.
But their focus will be on other avenues. So maybe less seasons will come out every year.
Yeah. Mm. I don't disagree with you, but when you say that, and I think about the idea of the YouTube gaming trending tab still being Fortnite videos for the next 2 years.
What was it before? Do we know any difference?
Zombies. Black Ops Zombies.
Oh, right. Yeah, I'm trying to think of what it was. Yeah, COD.
Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah.
It was a lot of that kind of dribble I feel like the phase before, maybe this was a few years before actually, but it was that sort of the early Let's Player picture in picture reacting to horror games, falling out of your chair kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It just feels like it's just been there. That's how it's been.
Minecraft was a big one. Yeah, still a big deal.
Still, yeah, they're kind of like, it's like Fortnite, Minecraft. Like, going when you scroll down.
Oh, yeah, when you scroll down, there's nothing else. Unless you get a popular YouTuber that's made a random video that is just in between that has nothing to do with Fortnite or Minecraft, but they're just a popular
person. And then everyone watches it.
Yeah. Do you think one of our videos will ever trend?
Absolutely.
You never know.
Absolutely.
I love that optimism.
Aim high.
Optimistic Steph.
I reckon if Chris or Jonesy were here, they'd both say no. So thank you for being optimistic, guys.
I was going to say one more thing on the Anthem.
Yeah.
On the Anthem game is, if you look at something like Warframe on the PC, I'm not sure, it's on Switch now.
It is on consoles as well,
I was across the board.
I've got it on PS4,
I think they have a very nice free-to-play model where everything is pretty much available to you as a free-to-play player.
Yes.
But then you have the choice to pay for Warframes. I would say they're cosmetics.
Mm-hmm.
But you have the choice to pay for that if you want to get them quicker.
Yeah.
But you can eventually get them if you save up your in-game currency for long enough.
Mm-hmm.
But the incentive to buy the microtransactions is to get it faster. But
you know, that's a good model, but to me that just makes so much more sense and almost only makes sense if you're launching free-to-play.
Yes.
And EA are never going to put out a free-to-play game on consoles.
No.
I mean, I might be wrong. They might try a Fortnite-style battle royale or something small, but they're never going to have what they hope is a marquee franchise or a game from a developer like BioWare come out at anything less than $60.
No.
So I feel like for as much as we can look at and admire Warframe, I don't know what the big AAA guys can learn from it because they'll never put that.
So is that,
for
is
free.
That your qualm is because you're paying $50-$60 for
a
game,
my qualm
and then
is,
you're having to pay for cosmetics on top.
It's like it's an unfinished game. It's incomplete.
A lot of them kind of are, anyway.
But it's also like, you know, you could have there's stuff that you can have, but you've already given a lot of your money to it.
Yeah.
But you know, you have to pay more. So to me, it's kind of like it's a broken. When I say broken, there's just bits of it that are not that should be attached to the game, but you know you have to pay an
100%.
Do you know what I mean? It's just a bit like...
let me ask you this. If I start playing Warframe and I get like 5 hours into Warframe and I say, right, I've gotten to a point where to look like what I'd like, to be the color I want to be in terms of like what my what my Warframe's color like looks like, to have the weapon I want and or whatever else, I have to pay £20 and I do it. How much have I spent?
Yeah.
£20.
Exactly. If I buy Anthem for £50 and 5 hours in, I say, right, to look like what I want to look like, to have the javelin I want, for it to be the color I want it to be, and so on and so forth, to customize this game in all the ways I'd like to, I have to spend £20. Yeah. How much have I spent?
£70.
There's a huge disparity there. Dollars. And of course, I don't like the argument fully, but there is also a point that people often make that you only have to roll the clock back 10 years, 15 years to a time when, as console gamers at least, you bought a game, and even if they they couldn't give you anything more. Yeah. Everything had to be on the disc.
Yeah, that's what that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I like the advances we've made in terms of, in theory, I like that games can be patched and improved and updated, and that games, if they do it the right way, can do DLC. And I even like, to a certain extent, that games can be live. I like some elements of games as a service. But, man, times were simpler back in the day.
Yeah.
When you got a flipping a cartridge to shove in your N64, and that was it.
£40 blowing the dust off. But don't you think back in those times when there was an issue with the game? I think we covered it. It was one of the Devil May Cry games, I think, that had a difficulty. When you put it on normal, the game was just extremely hard.
Fair enough.
But then they couldn't patch it. They've already sold it.
Oh, yeah, that's why I like some of the advances. I like that. But it's when it's used for good, right?
Yeah, but I think also now developers know that they can make mistakes and just patch it later.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Like, yeah, people, they work to a deadline and that's it. That's the deadline. And then you release the game. There are going to be examples of when games are just broken, but like,
day one, 50 gig patches.
Yeah. Like God of War was a game that came out and day one, you didn't need to do anything. That game worked and was beautiful and solid. Yeah. But they did patch it a lot.
Yeah.
And they ended up adding things like a new game plus and new armor sets and stuff like that. Didn't charge a penny for any of it. So there are companies and games that prove that it can be done right, but there are also...
I wonder why they don't want to follow that model. Like, what? It's just the money.
It's just the money,
it's the billions.
It is just the money. But it will be curious. I don't think you'll ever see it, but it will be curious... If Anthem explodes and they start making a decent amount of money from these aesthetic microtransactions, how much of that money is then being put back into development?
Yes.
None.
We'll see.
Development in making more DLC or like seasons, whatever you call it, or whatever you want to.
Well, that's
that's where you get into the really cynical thing, isn't it? Where they're taking the money to put it into development to prolong the cycle of the game to get more money.
Yeah.
Like games
don't end anymore.
Yeah. They're incentivized to improve the game, but they want to improve the game to keep you in the game so you keep spending more money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a heroin manufacturer using the money from the heroin sales to improve the addictiveness of their heroin.
Yeah.
I know that's a weird analogy, but...
Yeah. No, I completely understand. Because it comes back down to how often the content is pushed out.
Yeah.
Because going back to Fortnite's model, they release, what, 4-5 seasons? They don't release a season per season, I don't think. Seasons last for a few weeks at a time, I think.
Right, so you have to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they do tiny changes at a time.
Mm.
Like, the latest thing is a snowman suit.
Who wants that?
Kids, 12-year-olds.
So that's that is the heroin. You're thinking, oh, that's an extra bit. I need to go and play that.
Yeah.
If EA can get that down with Anthem, oh, there's a new gun this week. There's a new something else this week. Rather than waiting 6 months and releasing another DLC.
Yeah, it's all blocked calendar. Yeah. They've got all their release dates
for the next 10 years.
Yeah, well, time will tell, and we actually don't have to wait too long now. About 3 weeks until release, and then we'll be very interesting to see how Anthem develops. As it rolls out beyond release. But we want to know what you guys think. Are you looking forward to Anthem? Did you maybe even play it over the weekend? Are you going to pick it up at launch? Are you going to wait for reviews and see what happens? And what do you think about all the other stuff we talked about it? Monetization, whether they're maybe playing it safe. How do you think it's going to be received? All of that and more. Let us know what you think. on Twitter, on Instagram, at All Time Gaming TV. Maybe jump on the Facebook, All Time Gaming Official. Or if you're watching on YouTube, just let us know in the comments down below. Maybe you're not watching on YouTube, though. Maybe you're listening on one of those premium audio platforms. So if you are listening on maybe iTunes, Audio Boom, Spotify, then shout out to you, because that's fucking cool. And also, absolutely, rate 5 stars while you're there.
I mean, the hosting skills are amazing.
Wait, I mean, I will say most of it is written down in front of me.
Yeah, but I mean, you know.
And it was written down by Chris. So.
Big up, Chris.
Yeah, so thanks for that, Chris. Doing my job for me. Should we do some news?
Let's do some news.
Do some news.
Steph, how do you feel about starting us off? I believe you wanted to talk a little bit about Google's DeepMind AI.
Yes.
We're going to get sci-fi up in this shit.
A little bit sci-fi.
I'm about to not understand any of what you're about to say for the next 10 minutes, but yes, please sweep me off my feet.
Dork o'clock.
Well, Google have developed what they're calling DeepMind AI, and it's been in the news sort of over this last week, as taking on players in StarCraft 2 and very much being used as a training bot for professional StarCraft 2 players. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't really know the ins and outs and all of the complex technology behind it.
I thought you developed Google's DeepMind AI, Steph.
I would not be on this pop. I'll be on an island somewhere sipping on a pina colada. And
women, everywhere.
Women everywhere. That will be like this because I'm talking to them about Google DeepMind.
But you've paid them to pretend they're enjoying listening to it. So yeah.
They're
hanging
yes
off your every word.
Absolutely.
In between sips of pina colada.
But at the moment, they've used 65,000 replays, and they've fed it into this AI to learn things like tactics and micromanagement of the game. And they've got a further 500,000 replays going into it. Over the Alpha Star League, the AI consumed over 200 human years worth of StarCraft 2 replays.
Jesus.
That is a lot of time.
Yeah.
That's
like
of replays.
That's like four Chris's.
Yeah.
Little joke there.
It was funny.
Thanks for the laughter.
And it has already beaten two professional players, Mana and TLO, 5-0.
And they are, I'm guessing, high-level pro players.
High-level professional.
Yeah.
A team, they're from Team Liquid.
Okay, yeah.
Which is a professional esports team.
Yeah.
And it beat those two 5-0 over two separate 5 games.
Right.
So it's, I think it's a very, very impressive technology that learns from what the players are actually doing, as opposed to, I don't know, Blizzard coding the AI
right
to do a set something.
Yeah.
It's physically learning itself to react to what you're
it's not, it's not copying in a way.
It's not copying.
Yeah.
It's not using code. It's using learning.
I guess it's all very interesting, but what do you think the practical uses of going forward?
What's the point?
Like, let's say we get to a point where we have an AI that is the best StarCraft 2 player on the universe. No one from Team Liquid can beat it. Then what do you do?
I'm just
sat here going,
pounds.
Great. That's great for people who are really good at StarCraft. Now you can be beaten by a computer. What next?
Thank you, next.
Yeah.
It's
a very... It'll be something like that, I think, will be good for single-player experiences. If you're playing through a story-driven game against AI, that they can physically react to what you're doing rather than a piece of physical code.
About a single-player anymore.
And also,
sorry, Steph.
Or it's the downfall of the esports.
But the other thing I worry about is even if it was good for single player, this is the first example of it happening, and after 65,000 replays, it can beat two pros.
Yeah.
Why do we want to develop an AI that controls difficulty that will just is constantly learning how to beat you as quickly as possible? Like, imagine if God of War had a difficulty setting that was Google DeepMind AI, and it was like saving every replay from the millions of people who played that game to get better and better and better, and so you just die in the first fight.
Yeah.
But it will up a challenge. It would be used
sure,
in practice
yeah
to then take. Even if it gets to a point where this thing is completely unbeatable, it would still give you, I suppose, things like reaction times or clicks per second or clicks per minute.
Yeah.
That something like StarCraft 2 relies on. It will give you the training there to then take that to a pro league to then play StarCraft 2 against a human.
Yeah.
And then be able to learn how to react just as just as quickly, but yeah. your reaction skills would get a lot better because you're reacting to an AI that would definitely beat you. So
yeah.
you have to
Sounds
react
painful.
To
it does sound painful.
To every single game,
my
just
brain
losing.
Wrinkled.
Yeah. it wouldn't be a fun experience.
I would not be a gamer by the end of 2020 if that started being implemented, because I'd just be beaten down in submission. But I wonder here, Steph, if there's a bigger talking point about, while we're talking, admitting that this maybe doesn't have that many practical uses, mm-hmm. if there is a wider implication here for what like AI and constantly learning AI can do for gaming in the future. Because we were talking a couple of weeks ago about NVIDIA and their new super sampling method involves deep learning. And right. an AI that is constantly getting better and better at super sampling, the end result being better, higher quality like super sampling and anti-aliasing than we're getting a standard. But because it's an AI that's always learning to do it, it actually does it taking up less, you know, processing power or just power in general.
Because it becomes more efficient to
exactly.
do.
Exactly. Yeah. So do you think there's, you know, maybe wider promise looking at gaming in general if deep learning AI becomes more widespread? Beyond just the difficulty of a game,
I think, especially with the NVIDIA things, it's hugely beneficial. Especially if you look at these latest graphics cards, for example, that they've just put out, the 2080 or the 20 series, should I say, 2080, 2070, the Ti range, that they're very much not able. The top end spec is not able to hit the capabilities of current hardware. So,
yeah.
like 144 hertz with ray tracing at 4K.
Exactly.
Even that top end card cannot hit that.
Yes.
So if you've got that card that can then learn by itself how to do those tasks better, you've all of a sudden got a much more efficient card. Yes, it might take a little bit of time, depending. It's not whether it's learning from what you're doing or it can download updates from kind of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it learns from everyone at once and NVIDIA collect that information and create an update from it. But you've all of a sudden got a card that can just get a lot better over time.
Yeah.
So you're not spending money just to get that next biggest upgrade.
Yeah.
You can use that card and that will increase the longevity of components, hopefully.
Saving us money.
Save us some money in the long run.
So we're saying that even if robots may or may not rule the world at some point in the future, there will be a bit of a honeymoon period for a few years at least where it's making gaming a little bit better.
Absolutely.
And that's all we can ask for.
Absolutely.
Fascinating stuff. Thank you, Steph. Roisin, why don't you bring us back down to planet Earth, talking about something with a few keywords we might understand.
I will.
No disrespect, Steph.
Yeah, the end,
but
I was
what
like...
What a crack.
By the end, I was like, what?
I need some fucking deep learning AI to teach me what you just said.
We'll have a masterclass later on, guys.
I'll just send me your podcast notes and I'll read through them afterwards, just to make sure it all sunk in. Roche, what you got?
Steph, you're going to be well happy. You're going to be well happy.
Oh, where's this going?
I'm excited.
Sea of Thieves.
Hey.
Okay, Paul, you know, here we go.
Yes.
Unexpectedly has become one of the top Twitch games this week. Did very well.
I never. Who saw that coming?
You bury your hat, Jamie.
I have to eat my hat now.
Eat your hat.
Just fill in the gaps for the people at home who might be wondering what the subtext is here when it comes to Steph's relationship with Sea of Thieves.
So, Steph, you love the game?
I think it was a great concept for a game, yes.
Great concept for the game, okay. Yeah. Change his words a bit.
And good execution,
and good
you would say. You would say.
At the time, it was a good execution. I had a lot of fun during those initial moments. I'll explain some problems in a bit, but
on the other hand...
I will half agree with Steph. I also thought it was a great concept. I thought Rare making a video game in 2018 and it's fucking open world pirate game. I thought,
amazing.
Great.
Yeah.
I looked at the trailers and said, well, the water looks fun. But I did start to think to myself, maybe a couple of months before release, I wonder when they're going to tell us what we're going to do in the game. And I also started to thought to myself a couple of hours before release, I wonder when they're going to tell us what we get to do in the game.
Yeah.
And I also thought a couple of hours after playing it, I wonder when we're going to do anything in this game. It was a great open world, a great concept. If you have enough friends, which I don't, but I'll get there one day, then you can get a little swashbuckling team together and sail the open seas and have a whole whale of a time. But the issue is, there was no game there.
And that was my issue.
Yeah,
as well.
I think, unfortunately, Steph, critics were a bit more behind... Jamie on that one.
Yeah, like there were some fucking random fetch quests and all that stuff, and that's all great. But You know what really bugged me? There was just no progression.
Yeah. No.
All cosmetic no. stuff.
It like, did look really cool.
You want a golden compass. Cool.
Exactly. Oh, now Steph's seeing the light. Anyway, Roisin, sorry to sidetrack you. Because
right?
in spite of all of this, but yeah, there's so a bit this, of a revolution going on.
Yeah, this past Monday, it was second place just under Fortnite.
Wow.
View-wise, over 100,000. That's pretty cool. Mm. For its release, so it was March last year, and it was only getting about 10,000 views on Twitch.
Wow. So almost tenfold year on year.
It's come up, and it might be thanks to streamer Summit 1G.
Mm. I hear he is he's now big, the yeah. most subscribed Twitch streamer.
So he jumped
yeah,
on it.
Something yeah, something like that.
I think he overtook Ninja like
he's
within
got,
the last week.
He's
3.5 million.
Quickly.
How many?
3.5 million
on Twitch.
Wow, mm-hmm.
wow,
that's big.
That's insane. Yeah, he. A lot of his stuff that I've seen recently has been Sea of Thieves, and he's.
I wonder why he jumped on it. What is it? Did you think he just knew he could? He was like, fuck it.
Maybe it was just it. It was just an empty game. It's if
yeah,
he
if
was
no
an
one's playing it, then he can
streamer.
Just... Because I think he's a bit of a troll, right?
Yes.
He pisses
yeah,
about a bit
absolutely.
And he has a bit of
he
fun with it.
About.
So maybe he thought, let's just go into this empty game and see what I could do.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. He very much winds up people playing, like steals their treasure from their ship and hides on their boat and things
yeah.
like that. So he very much puts a narrative on the game.
Yeah.
He doesn't necessarily...
Just play a game.
Or his highlights. I haven't watched him kind of as a full-time streamer, but very much his highlight reels have not been... As you said, the fetch quest, let's go and do this quest, let's go and get that treasure chest. Kind of thing.
He's making the most of that open world,
yes.
which was the promise of
yeah,
that game, I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that's where Sea of Thieves was great, because it gave players the opportunity to create their own stories.
Mm.
But that's very hard to do if there's not much to do inside the game to create a story
yeah.
around. So you could go off and you can find a player and you can shoot them with your cannons, but you do that 10 times and it's the same thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, well, he's not the only one who played it.
Ooh.
Dr. Disrespect.
Oh, the doc.
Dipped his toe into the sea.
Doc.
Get it? Very nice.
And Ninja as well. So do you think this is it? Do you think this is it? Fortnite's done. See if
wow.
This is it. This is you said 2 years.
Did.
Maybe, but
maybe.
Not.
Maybe 2 weeks.
Maybe like because
2 months.
It was because it was empty. They're all just going to fuck about and have fun, and then everyone will jump back into it.
Yeah,
jump back into
say.
The sea.
Fuck Glass. That would be the most M. Night Shyamalan twist the video games industry
amazing.
Has ever seen. If
Can
Sea
you
of
imagine?
Thieves becomes the new Fortnite,
that would be absolutely.
It probably won't, but
that would
yeah,
be absolutely amazing.
So does that yeah. mean you think long run?
Yes.
Even though there's a bit of attention on it, and some of the Twitch streamers are jumping on board,
well,
you don't think this translates into
yeah,
genuine
like,
success?
I feel like it's a week. It's a Monday. Do you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like the results came out on Monday. Now I think when everyone saw it, like, and I was like, oh shit, yeah, that's a you know that's a pretty big deal. But I don't know. Now I'm a bit like. Now I'm a bit like.
I know what you mean.
Now I'm kind of like. I'm looking at you, Jamie, but then I'm looking at Steph's optimism, and I'm
yeah.
like, oh,
Steph's
what,
Steph's
what do I do?
Eye has lit up.
If it over. Thanks, man.
Just the
just
one.
Got that. Just got that.
Sorry, Steph.
If it overtakes Fortnite, that would be insane.
Steph, if it overtakes Fortnite, we will dedicate a whole strand streaming,
yeah.
and we will all
yeah.
play with you, and you'll be the captain,
we'll,
and you will run the
we'll
ship.
We'll rename this podcast.
Yeah.
Well, the Sea of
yeah.
the Sea of Thieves Super Show.
Super Show.
The
Steph.
SSS.
S. Steph.
Sort of.
Put Steph in there somewhere.
Steph's Sea of Super
sea of show.
Show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or something like that.
Talking about
we will do
things.
That. We've said it. It's on camera, and it's on the mic.
It's in the books.
It's in the books.
I also think Rare have done a very good job, and this can be taken back to Anthem as well. I know I've gone back to Anthem
yeah.
twice now, but Rare have done a very good job, I think, of developing content. Not so much on a regular basis, but they have kept up with DLC updates. I think
mm-hmm.
they've done
yeah.
three so far now. That's just added new content
I
every
think,
time.
Yeah, now they've got this little spike. Maybe they'll give a bit more.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe they'll
spike.
Be. They'll
publicity.
Be like, yeah.
People are going to definitely jump back onto the game. If you've
yeah.
got Summit, Ninja, and Dr. Disrespect
yeah.
playing
yeah.
Sea of Thieves.
Yeah.
Oh, sugar, I just whacked the mic. Apologies, everyone.
I was told not to touch my microphone.
I didn't do that on purpose.
Time.
I didn't do
Jamie
that on purpose.
Stroke.
I bet that sounded great. So,
sorry about
apologies,
that.
Folks at home. I have just given you all a small heart attack, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's because we mentioned Sea of Thieves so many times.
I had to. I couldn't control my arms. They were
if
flailing
you're
in anger.
On Spotify, his face is getting redder.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a little bit embarrassed. But there we go.
But yeah,
you're right.
I think it's great that they're getting this popularity.
They must be loving it. Yeah. And if a certain percentage of those people jumping on now are first time players and they're seeing a game with more content than it had at launch, that's great.
Yeah, Samet really, he likes the game a lot. And he said that he's going to continue playing it for the next couple of weeks. Mm. So, you know, it could turn into it.
Yeah.
It could still, but I feel like, I don't want to be pessimistic, but I feel like it might dip. Like, I feel like the views are going to dip. I feel like if that's his content, if he makes kind of like jokes and stuff, I feel like, he took advantage of, as you said, the open world, and probably because it's quite an empty game, so he can just run around and do what he wants. Yeah. After that, you know. Unless Rare take him on and he'll be like a spokesman.
Rare take him on.
Just take him on and then it updates and make the game better and better.
Flipping that. What is this industry? I don't know what's going on anymore.
They're relying on...
Right. Yeah. Also relating to weird shit going on in this industry that I can't quite wrap my head around. As of this recording, very recently, a new TV show has been announced with ties to a certain video game.
Is it Resident Evil?
It's Resident Evil.
You're obsessed with it.
I'm sorry, but it's hot and it's happening. Hot. Roisin. And I had to bring it up.
Do you know what's hot?
What?
Fire Festival.
Oh, dearie me.
I'm joking. We won't talk about that.
We need to set up a separate podcast where we just talk about Netflix shows. Yeah. Because apparently there's that. There's something about a woman cleaning that I meant to watch.
Yeah, the tidying up woman.
Great.
Who's the tidying up woman?
There's a tidying up woman from Japan, I believe.
Yeah, I'm the guy who hasn't even seen like Stranger Things or House of Cards yet.
You could probably just flick to
I could, but every time I go on Netflix, I'm like, oh, they've got Austin Powers 2 on here. and so I just watch that instead. So I go on it once every 6 months, and by no coincidence, also watch Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me, once every 6 months.
What's your favorite?
Once every 6 months. That's
my
favorite
Austin Powers.
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably the first one.
Really?
International Man of Mystery.
I think number two.
Number two has its moments. I especially like the gag when... This is a big sidetrack, so I'm going to get it over and done quickly.
It's when
Austin Powers and Mini-Me are trying to sneak into the facility, and they do this gag where Austin Powers is basically standing on Mini-Me's shoulders with a really long coat on. She's got these tiny legs. And he has to do a urine sample so he doesn't know what to do. So it's Mini-Me drinking apple juice and then spitting it out into a bottle. And the guy has got that great gag with the silhouette, and the guy can see the silhouette and it looks like he's pregnant, and Mini-Me comes. What a phenomenal movie.
He was good at gags.
He was indeed. R.I.P. Vern Troyer as well. But let's jump back to Resident Evil, shall we? Because it has been announced that a new Resident Evil Netflix series is happening.
Cool.
Which sounds, on paper, like it could be great.
Why? Why does it sound like it could be great?
Because, I don't know, Resident Evil's cool. And I think there could be a cool TV show about Resident Evil.
Did you like the film?
No.
Any of the films?
Not really.
So why?
Well, that's a good question.
The first film was good.
Roisin, the deeper you dig, the more I realise I'm wrong, so please stop. And also another reason to perhaps throw caution to the wind on this one is that this is still being made by Constantine Films. And you won't have heard of them, but they are the German production company who made, as luck would have it, those exact Resident Evil films.
Right. Did the same company make how many Resident Evil films?
Six or seven?
Yeah,
or something.
There's loads.
I believe it is the same company.
There's
that's
one that looks like Mad
them.
Max. I swear. There's one where she's like in the desert.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. Is it Apocalypse?
Yeah.
Or something? I don't know. Sorry. I'll probably get it wrong.
I watched the first and the second one, then I kind of lost the story. I didn't like the second one.
It ended up making loads of money towards the end. Yeah. They went balls out and 3D and it made some big money. I think this is why it's probably getting a TV show. The franchise of movies, if I'm not mistaken, has made over $1.2 billion at the box office. So that's probably why they're looking at expanding it and creating what they hope to be a Resident Evil universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like I said, we don't know anything about it. We know it's the same company making it. It doesn't have a showrunner yet.
Yeah.
There's lots of reasons to be skeptical, but kind of leads me to a question. With the success, mostly success of the Castlevania show on Netflix, and of course the upcoming adaptation of The Witcher for Netflix starring Henry Cavill, is Netflix the new home
for game, yeah,
for video game adaptations.
Well, they haven't really done well with Marvel at all. They're just cancelling them left, right, and centre. They just don't want nothing to do with it. They're cutting their losses with that one, which is a shame. I thought there could have been, like, when Jessica Jones came out, for quality, absolute quality.
First season of Luke Cage.
Daredevil was quality.
Punisher hasn't gone yet. Season two's just come out.
But they've said that that's the last season.
That's what I mean. It's like, so that maybe that's what they're doing. They're cutting off.
Awesome.
I wonder why, though. Maybe because the cinematic series is coming to an end pretty much.
I think it very much has something to do with the fact that Disney are launching their own streaming service.
Right, okay.
And
Seth's always on the pulse. Seth's always got sensible answers.
They're going to start to buy, they're going to start to take back all of the Marvel stuff.
Yeah, you're very right.
Sounds very possible.
Other streaming services.
Don't you, not a waste of time, but how would the Disney streaming service or whatever they're going to do with it, do you think they would relaunch a new Luke Cage? Do you know what I mean? Are they going to relaunch?
You think they'd relaunch it?
There's no news for it, but I think they would.
I
think they go in a new direction.
Yeah.
And then maybe if there's enough fan outcry, they'll do like season 3 or 4 or whatever it is of Luke Cage.
Yeah.
It's confirmed.
It's just another, like, again, it's like another Spider-Man film. Do you know what I mean? Then we're going to have another this, another that. We're going to have to. And
it's been like that for like 10 years.
I'm sick of it.
You loved Avengers Infinity War.
Friggin' didn't.
Yeah, you did.
I've never seen Avengers.
No, I did.
I was waiting for Avengers Infinity War, the most recent one, wasn't it?
Yes.
I was waiting for that to land on Netflix on Christmas Day, like the internet promised me, but then it was America, not the UK.
It's on Sky Movies now.
I'll watch
your Now TV going, Steph.
I was watching it.
I have to get my
anyway.
Now TV on and watch some Sky Movies.
But what I was wondering is because, like, the Castlevania thing seemed like a relative success. Mm. The Witcher one, we don't know
that
yet.
That was an anime,
because
wasn't
it's
it?
An anime.
It was an anime, yeah.
That's what I was gonna say.
But here's the thing, right? Like, video games, the issue is that we're talking about games that we play on the short end, like maybe sort of like 10 hours, but on the long end, something like The Witcher, you could be playing that for hundreds of hours. Movies have always had a real tough time adapting that to a 90-minute, 120-minute film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've ended up with a lot of really weird, ham-fisted video game adaptations where they've taken strange shortcuts, not been particularly faithful to the source material, and also a lot of them have unfortunately been quite big budget. You think of things like Prince of Persia, Assassin's Creed, World of Warcraft, Tomb Raider, some of the recent ones.
Yeah.
Quite big budget, and they've had to make changes and had to let producers come in and get their grubby mitts on it to warrant those price tags. Netflix... It seems like maybe a little bit more creative freedom, a little bit more free reign.
Obviously, Hollywood.
Longer form, 6 episodes, 8 episodes, where you can tell a longer story. Like, if you ask me right now, do I want I don't want anything, but if I had to choose between a 2-hour Metal Gear Solid movie or an 8-part, like, technically 8-hour Metal Gear Solid series made to the same level of quality but with more freedom from the people who know how to handle that source material, I'd 100% choose Netflix.
I would absolutely.
So maybe that's the future.
As you said before, they cramming a game story into an hour and a half, 2-hour movie, you're gonna miss so much.
Yeah,
but then I also think on the same path that they've got to have such an original story set in same universe.
What's it gonna follow? Like, Resident Evil? Like, what would you want to see?
Can you not take those same characters?
Just the original. Like,
you could take Redfield, you know, Leon Kennedy.
And do you want to see them in the situation that you've played, or do you want to see them in a whole new situation, or like what?
I don't know. Resident Evil's a weird one, right? Because like, if you adapt Resident Evil 1, it's like, right, a team of people go into the house, shit happens.
Yeah,
but I don't know. When I think about Metal Gear Solid as an example, it's a bit of a touchy one because it's a long-running franchise, a lot of entries in that series, and there's a lot of care that's been taken in producing them,
and
with
who
the exception.
Would play Snake?
Exactly. Who would play Snake? And also, like, is Kojima involved? Yeah. And if not, do you want someone essentially rewriting Kojima's work? And you kind of don't. But at the same time, if it had to happen, if you tied me down and said, this is happening, you have no choice, but you're going to help it find its shape, I don't want them to ignore the fact that Solid Snake or Naked Snake exist.
Yeah.
I want to see
the
Revolver Ocelot, and I want to see Cyborg Ninja, and I want to see, you know, Psycho Mantis or whoever it is, like whatever game they adapt. Like, I want that stuff to happen. Like, if they adapted the first Metal Gear Solid game, Metal Gear Solid 1, to a Netflix series, those characters are so unbelievable. And yes, they might be ruined, but at the same time, there's no point in doing something without them.
Yeah.
Those are the game.
But maybe just don't touch it then. Just leave
that
it.
That 100%
just
don't touch it.
But yeah. Because I feel like it could be a potential of making it could be like a B movie. Do you know what I mean? They could make it really like, yeah. like off key, a bit camp, and a bit like.
Game movies ever.
I just worry we won't have a choice. Or it's going to be one of those ones where like, hey, we've bought the rights to this. Yeah. We've set aside a budget. This is happening. And all you can do is hope for the best.
But I'd still watch.
I'd still watch
The Witcher.
It'd be fascinating either way.
If The Witcher looks a lot better than that first tester shot with
Henry Cavill. Hair did not work, did it? It's
ridiculous. Where are his scars? Legolas. Legolas has turned up in The Witcher.
Do you know who I think they should have hired to play that role?
Go on.
You, Steph. You've got the look. Just grow your hair out a little bit.
Grow my hair, dye it white.
And we got the Sonic film to look forward to as well.
Oh, why'd you have to bring that up, Rasheen? I was just ready to put all this behind me.
But that could be quite exciting as well.
What, the Sonic film?
Get out, Steph.
Oh, for crying out loud, Steph. Do you listen to this podcast?
Jesus.
I've listened to a few episodes.
Well, you clearly didn't listen to the one we talked about, that Sonic movie.
Where you slagged it off.
Yeah. That's going to be shit.
Optimism.
I mean, you know, it's a train wreck that I'm going to enjoy watch happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
it's going to be so bad, it's going to be good.
Whatever. Yeah, exactly. We'll it's going to we'll be so good. Gaming, it's like going to be good. Movie. Right, so that about does it for the news. But again, feel free to interact with us as you're listening to the show. Those links, once again, on Twitter and Instagram, it's All Time Gaming TV. On Facebook, it's All Time Gaming Official. But of course, if you're watching us on YouTube, you can just leave a comment down below. What Netflix show would you like to see as a video game adaptation of? Why don't we start with that one? Let us know in the comments down below. And speaking of fan interaction and you guys reaching out for us, we now enter our last segment of the podcast where we answer your questions. So these questions, all the ones you're about to hear, were left by fans all over those various links that I just mentioned, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. We'll read it all, we'll scan it all, we'll pick out the best questions, and you could have your question featured in next week's episode. So get thinking and then get writing. We ready, gang?
Ready.
Let's start off with this one from Reese Fenwick. You're going to like this, Rasheen.
Yeah.
Getting its third mention of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Or the morning, even. It's morning here. It's not night. I just like to feel like
I'm
hosting like
24
hours. It's like the Late Late Show, and I'm James Corden. One day.
One day.
Sign me up. With
After
the release.
That trending video.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Wow. What a debut. What a performance. With the release of Resident Evil 2. And The Last of Us 2 coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say is your favourite horror game of all time?
Mm.
Tough one. I know, I like to start off with those ones that... great way to launch the questions and comments section by asking you a question that takes you about 5 minutes to think of an answer. I guess I'll jump in and say, well, I'll give you guys a bit of thinking time, because I did sort of jump you guys with that one a little bit.
Fine.
Apologies.
No, it's fine.
Horror is a weird genre, right?
Yeah, it's a hard... the reason why I'm going, is because I don't think I get very far because I'm scared.
100% the same.
Like, yeah, I don't enjoy it.
That's why the ones that stand out for me, I don't know if it's the same for you, are the ones that actually kind of find a balance between horror and action. The first two that pop into my head, Resident Evil 4 and Dead Space 2.
Yeah.
Both still very much horror games, but they empowered me just enough. There was just enough ammo, just enough powerful weapons that I felt like I could...
That you felt safe.
I felt like I could do something.
Resident Evil 4 was probably the game I played, like, properly, like, because we had it on the Wii. But,
it's a good version.
Yeah,
it's a good version.
I had the gun and stuff like that, because you really needed that plastic gun. But I think I'm more of a, like indie game horror. So like I remember playing Slender Man and being really and like getting really into it and really liking it. Or even like PT and games like that. Like I feel like they work for me when they're smaller. Like if they're just in one location or a couple different locations and you know there's one objective and there's not really much, because otherwise I just can't do it. I can't even play all of the... didn't finish all of The Last of Us because...
Really?
The mechanics are shit.
What?
Yeah, I've said it.
It's the greatest story ever told.
Greatest story ever told. The mechanics are shit.
Sorry, Jamie.
But I've played it. Like,
I had a bit. Didn't like it.
You all both...
Shit, I didn't know that.
Get off this podcast.
I didn't know that.
Go away.
I didn't know you didn't like it. That's jokes.
Wasn't keen.
Yeah, no, I just...
Not a fan of stealth.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I put the clickers and stuff. I lose my head. I lose my head. That's all I have to say. I just kind of get too scared.
Steph, what you got? Horror games.
I'm going to go with something I think a little bit out there. I'm not sure if it would count as a full-on horror game, but I'm going to go with a game called Little Nightmares.
Okay, we played this on the channel, yeah.
Which, I played it myself.
I found that endearing.
I played it all through from beginning to end without stopping.
Yeah.
And I absolutely loved it. It wasn't jump scary, but it was more kind of like psychological.
Yeah, and body as well. Yeah. There's some gross body, like,
especially with those weird giant creatures. That
they are. It's cool though. Like, it felt like it was like Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah. There was a part in that game that really stood out. Is when, I'm not sure if it was in that or one of the DLCs. Actually, there was two parts. The first one was when you're running while they're eating, and you have to run through and jump over the table and over their hands because they try and grab you to eat you. That was pretty tense and scary. And then they start chasing you because you're like live food. And the second part was when you were in kind of like the ship prison or whatever it was, that the boat, and there was the thing swimming around. Mm. And you had to stay on top of boxes. And if you didn't, all you saw were kind of like ripples coming up behind you. You never saw what the creature was.
Very effective.
But, it was very effective. It was very dark. You had to rely on kind of sparking electrical wires that were broken.
Yeah.
That it was really tense. For kind of like an indie arcadey type game.
Yeah, I'd lose my
really
head.
Tense.
That's
that,
a cool shout.
Yeah.
Once again, if you're sitting at home listening to Steph talk about Little Nightmares and wondering what it looks like, we did actually play a few episodes of it, a few Let's Plays on the channel. So just search for Little Nightmares on the ATG channel and have a look. Thanks for sharing, guys. And now, Roisin.
Yeah.
How do you fancy getting a little bit, maybe a little deep, a little
deep.
Emotional?
Oh, my goodness.
In a good way, hopefully.
Yeah.
This one comes in from Mickey J.
Oh, yeah?
The Mixter, big fan.
Mickey J.
Cheers for chiming in, Mixter. How does Roisin feel about being the only girl? And does she feel like she is a mum looking after her rowdy boys?
That is actually very accurate.
You feel like a mum?
No, the rowdy boys trying to get
We're
you.
We're not that rowdy.
You guys can talk for hours and not just be like, yeah, we've got to do this shoot in a minute. And then you'll be like, another 20 minutes goes by.
Yep.
And then
that's
as soon
why everything's
as,
always out on time.
And then as soon as I go, all right, guys, you go, all right, Roche. All right, oh, Roche is in a mood.
Do you feel like as the only woman, you have to do some sort of like representation, women in gaming, like, kind of stuff, or are you kind of relaxed about it all?
I mean,
do you feel that there's a bit of responsibility?
Of course there's a responsibility. Like, I don't want to be, I think there is a certain way that women are perceived, women as gamers are perceived. They only play a certain type of game. They don't know about this, they don't know this, they don't know that, or whatever. But I enjoy games. That's why I'm here. So that's what I'm pushing. I agree.
I think especially with female esports teams.
We've come so far. I mean, can we name any women's esports team? Go for it. Go on, Steph.
You've dug yourself a hole here.
I have dug myself
Go
a
on,
hole.
Steph.
Go on, then.
They have,
go on, Steph.
I want to
no,
say...
No, pressure,
say,
no pressure.
I
no pressure.
I don't want to say
of his tongue,
name.
Tip of his tongue.
No pressure. But this is what I'm saying. I feel like we've still got a little bit to go. And yeah, I hope that I bring some good vibes to the channel.
You absolutely do, Roisin. We appreciate you every day.
It might be Astralis.
Really?
Might be.
Even if that's right, took you way too long to answer. You kind of proved Roisin's point there, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But they're competing.
That.
That's what I'm saying. They're competing.
Yeah. But no, yeah, it's fun.
Good. I'd like to think that's the bare minimum.
Yes.
But good, that's glad to hear. And thank you for the question, Mickey J.
Thank you, Mickey.
Question.
Thanks, Mickey.
This one comes in from another big fan. Shout out to Paul Witcherly.
Hi, Paul.
AKA the Big Witch. In once again with another quality question. Out of all the games scheduled for 2019, which ones do you think will flop like Fallout 76 and why?
Anthem.
Quick off the mark.
Days Gone.
Wow.
Days Gone.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of hype surrounding Days Gone.
I don't think there. I don't. I feel
I
like
there's negative hype.
I feel like we've just forgotten about it.
I think there's negative. The negative hype comes from the delays. But every time they put out a new trailer, if you look at comment sections, it's like, oh, I can't wait for this game.
People
this game looks
silly.
So good. I think that will be a big disappointment.
It's just not needed. Let's face it. Like this time last year, we was looking forward to like God of War coming or having a God of War in the year. We've got Days Gone.
But I don't think they're bringing anything new to the table.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know why they, like, I feel like when it was delayed, I think they should have seriously thought about, I know they can't, like, cancel it, but they should have really, really thought about, should we release this game? Like, is it worth our time? But, yeah, people will buy it. People will play it. Mm. People will moan about it.
Division 2, do we think that's going to get through unscathed?
I think there's going to be a lot of comparisons to the first one, and Ubisoft are going to have to try really hard not to make the same mistakes they did with the first one.
But I think people as teams are going to have a good time with it. Like, if you're in a team and you were playing Division properly, and you like, I think it's just going to be another chapter in that world. Do you know what I mean? I think it's fine. I don't think.
I think if you're going to squad up with friends,
it's going to be crazy.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much like Sea of Thieves was, Jamie.
Very much like Sea of Thieves. And speaking of Sea of Thieves, Steph, this final question comes in from Daniel Dickens, who asks, what's everyone's favourite game that is considered awful by the majority of people?
Sea of Thieves,
yeah. But do you have any others? Any other games out there that the audience consensus seems to be pretty poor on, but actually you had a good time with it, regardless of what anyone else had? It doesn't have to be embarrassing. Or maybe just something that people didn't see the same way that you saw. The silence is deafening. Wow.
I think, like,
you guys really, you don't break from the mold.
I think people, like, judge Sims a lot. I really like Sims. I don't play it now, but, like, I, like, vouch for it, like, when people talk about it. Like, I understand why people love it. And, like, well, people, like, but people, again, it's that kind of culture of, like, oh, it's not a game, is it? Like, but it's like, you try get 4 kids through school and get a promotion at work
on The Sims and keep your friends
and be a single mum. And keep your friends, because you got to get a promotion. You got to make friends. So it's
last promotion. You got to have 7 friends before you get promoted. Imagine that worked in real life,
mate. You play Sims and try and have a successful story generation.
Oh, I need a promotion at work, please. Can you be my friend?
That's exactly what you said when you wanted one. That's how you got in this podcast.
Waited for an opportunity to Chris not to.
What
Chris
about you, Jamie? Jamie's like the king of games. Let's face it.
He's like the
chief.
Well, if that even were remotely true, this would be the part where I reveal myself as being scum, because I have liked some games that haven't been particularly popular over the years. Yeah. One that does pop into my head immediately, and I'm not a big apologist for this. I am willing to slag it off because I know everything that's wrong with it. But it's The Order 1886. The PlayStation 4 exclusive game, third-person cover shooter, slagged off to no end at launch because, far too linear, extremely short. Story squanders what was, some decent potential.
Yeah.
Ending was boring, gameplay was generic, and so on and so forth. A laundry list of problems. Yeah. And yes, I did complete it in 2 sittings, accidentally. But I actually thought there was some really interesting...
I didn't
realize it would end that quickly.
Oh, right.
Like, everyone had warned me, but I was like, oh, I just finished it.
I didn't believe you.
And I definitely lost a bit of momentum with it in the second half of the game, but I thought that that game had some really cool ideas.
Yeah.
I thought it's the setup and the premise and the lore that they were trying to add in, this idea of the Knights of the Round Table never actually died, and they're still an order that continued to this day. Yeah. I don't fully care for the werewolfy lichen stuff, but it added a bit of horror, I guess. And the setting. I mean, Whitechapel in 1866, all very sort of like misty and dark and atmospheric. I liked a lot of the design, the character design, the enemy design. I liked a lot of the weapon design. It was just a game that was hamstrung by some poor gameplay design choices, and ultimately a story that fizzled out far too quickly. And meant that the game came to an end after about 5 hours.
Was there supposed to be more of it, and it just something happened in the process, and it had to get cut out or whatever?
I don't know.
That'd be interesting to investigate.
Yeah, maybe there's a behind the scenes story there about what happened in the development of The Order 1886. Mm. But
deadlines.
Yeah.
No microtransactions.
Yeah.
But that's mine. Steph, have you got one?
Yeah,
you thought one up.
It was Sea of Thieves, but yeah. Well, I can't actually remember the question. It was a game that's not popular.
Yeah, majority of people consider awful, but you...
But I feel like that's an opinion as well, do you know what I mean? Like, fuck them.
I can understand what Roche is saying about that kind of Sims games. I have a lot of love for things like...
Theme Hospital.
City Skyline, Theme...
Two Point Hospital.
I have a lot of love for that game.
Yeah.
And I'm playing Parkitect at the moment, which is absolutely wonderful. So I think... those games get a lot of hate because of the type of games that they are. A lot of people find them boring. But I think a kind of guilty pleasure game for me, that wasn't very well received was maybe the Fable series.
Okay.
Maybe even
but
later
no, that
on.
Was cool.
I loved the Fable series.
That was
yeah.
cool.
In terms
yeah.
of Fable 3. I
Fable
know
3
got a
was
lot of hate.
Poorly
yeah.
reviewed.
I think it, but again, it's the buzz that surrounded it. I feel like when one person says it's something, yeah. it's shit, and you know, Peter didn't really help himself in certain ways, yeah. Yeah. it just becomes a meme, and then everyone's just like, oh, it's shit.
Everyone
and it's just like, and everyone forgets, even people who've played it forget that, like, you know, decent at one time. So yeah. don't. What are you talking about?
I had a lot. I loved the first one. Yeah. Second one was okay. And then the third one, again, I liked. I didn't love it, but
yeah.
I felt like I liked it more than probably the majority yeah. of people on the internet. So that would probably be...
Fair enough.
...be my choice.
Cool.
I also just thought of another one for cool. me, actually. Enter the Matrix.
Oh no, that's a sick game. What are we talking about? What?
Well,
who
no,
says that shit?
It was a
buggy, sometimes yeah. broken
Mate,
game that a lot
of
people
of the
really
best
didn't like it.
Playing that game.
Me yeah. too.
Doing
me too.
Doing the side cartwheels.
Mate,
I was 11 years old. I put on all yeah. the cheats so I had unlimited health, ammo, and I think it was called
Jamie.
Focus.
Yeah.
No, because I wanted. Yeah, so enough. It was like, I think it was called Focus, and you held down L2.
Yeah.
And basically, it meant you were in slow motion, but also that if you like ran into walls, you'd backflip
yeah,
off them,
yeah.
and you could do the cartwheels and shoot at the same
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
And it was just at a time when the Matrix was the most incredible
yeah,
thing you'd ever seen in your life.
Wallet.
Playing a game that even tried to replicate that
yeah.
formula.
Who did you play as?
What it was
the girl Jada Pinkett Smith.
It was flip. One the dude was called. She was called.
What was she called?
Man, I think one of them was called Ghost. Like
yeah,
he, I think the Asian dude was called
yeah.
Ghost. What was Jada Pinkett's name?
I don't know.
We're not going to remember.
But Jada, I was always Jada, and that's what I mean. It was cool to be like Jada Pinkett Smith. Like there was
yeah.
no representation of a black woman in games. I
yeah.
loved
it.
It
was cool.
There was a second one, wasn't there as well? Was there,
there was
one?
The Matrix: The Path of Neo,
that
which
was
a separate game,
yeah,
and
I didn't.
Was different.
Yeah.
Tried to follow the movies a little bit
yeah.
closer,
yeah.
and then eventually carved its own path out and
yeah.
did its own story. I never played that one as much, even if it was meant to be slightly better based on reviews.
No, man, whoever says Entered the Matrix was not a good game.
Wow.
Fuck them.
Have any of you played Hong Kong Massacre?
It's just come out, hasn't
yeah,
it?
No.
It's just come out, the slow-mo
top-down.
No,
I have not played
it,
but it looks
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, it's
quality?
Very slow-motion, bullet time, diving around. It's
we'll, get it, we'll get it on the Steam account.
It's quite good.
Yeah, give it a go over the weekend,
yeah.
maybe. All right, well, that about does it for our question, which means... That about does it for the show.
Oh, it's been lovely.
Yeah, it's been good.
A breeze.
Hopefully it's been a good...
the dream
yeah.
team.
Been a good first podcast.
How'd you feel about your debut, Steph? You going to come back?
I'd like to come back. I think
good.
It's a lot easier. You build these things up in your head and you're like, oh my... You sit here and you're like, oh my God, I'm really nervous.
Let's just do this.
I'm
going
to have to really switch it on.
We should
but
just
I think,
do this everyone.
I think it's gone all right.
Okay, we'll get you back then. And Roisin.
Yeah.
Happy?
Always happy, mate.
You're going to be back too as well,
always
I hope.
Always smiling.
Always smiling.
Good stuff. And we hope you guys listening or watching enjoyed it as well. Remember to reach out whether you want to comment on any of the stuff that we talked about today. You want to ask us to talk about something in particular. Maybe you even want to ask us a question. Those links, one more time, it's Twitter and Instagram at All Time Gaming TV or on Facebook at All Time Gaming Official. And of course, no matter what you're watching on, stay tuned to the channel. Make sure you've subscribed. All kinds of stuff coming out. Like I said, Resident Evil 2 stream should have gone live on Friday. We should have an Anthem stream that went up on Saturday. VODs of those both available. So check them out. And of course, if you're listening on an audio platform, iTunes, Spotify, Audio Boom, any of that stuff, please, please rate the podcast 5 stars because that really helps us out. Leave a like if you're on YouTube. Basically, all that positive social media-y stuff every YouTuber asks you to do, please do it for us.
We just want
to
talk about games.
We just want to talk about
with
games.
You guys.
And we'll be back again next week to do exactly that. We'll see you there.
Bye.
Bye.